know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Con, Ed Norris here. Rob Long is off this week. I'm off next week. Feel like I'm off this week. I mean, just up top, upstairs, I'm off. Everything's out of whack.
Rob's off, you feel like you're on vacation, is that what you're saying?
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, my brain is scrambled. You heard me reading that damn live read?
Yeah.
And I'm going, what are you doing, Jeremy? I'm talking to myself during it.
That's what happens when you go on vacation. You kind of, you know you're going on vacation.
And I think you get in vacation mode early. Yeah. I just think I'm off because of the sleep schedule. And I told you, I felt ill this morning, which...
You're illin?
Illin, yeah. So, anyway, let's get to this because you had a lot with the talk about it. And I know Joe has something to add to this, too. But the league's going to vote today, tomorrow on Tush Push. What is it? Players playing in the Olympics, NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
And then also reseeding in the playoffs. Now, Joe, you said Adam Schefter reported he thinks the Olympic thing's going
to
pass.
Yes. According to sources, a vote to allow NFL players to participate in flag football for the first time during the 28 Olympics is expected to pass at today's league meeting. One source said about today's vote, quote, Olympics should be easy. Tomorrow... There will be a vote on the Tush Push and playoff reseeding.
I think the reseeding thing makes so much sense. And as I said...
Do you know how they want to reseed it, though, exactly?
Strictly by record. Divisions don't matter. Division titles don't matter.
And I don't like that.
I love it.
I don't.
It's because it's...
What if you play in a crappy division and you just, you know, you eat them all, you feast on your division?
It's supposed to get around that.
You're in the AFCs. Well, how?
Because then...
It goes by record and you're in the AFCs and
So you wouldn't get a home game. You don't get a home game.
What do you mean you don't get... Oh, if you're not a division winner?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he said. So, like, to me, this should have happened years ago because, mm-hmm. you know, once
the
they
Saints,
added the team...
Seahawks.
You have two different incidents. You have... And I hate saying something for the Patriots. The year that Matt Cassel, who stunk to high heaven, followed Tom Brady after his injury and went 11-5, the Patriots didn't even make the playoffs. The 8-8 Chargers got in. Now, if you win your division, you still get in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
You could still get in the playoffs if you win your division.
You won't get a home game.
See, if when the Seahawks were 7-9 and won a division and hosted the Saints.
No, but this time they'd be going to the Saints.
Okay.
When the Colts went to the 8-8 Chargers, the Chargers would have been going to the Colts. And I think this is right. We're not saying that your division doesn't matter because some of that stuff is cyclical. Like where you talk, like for a while they were going, NFC West is the worst division in football. And then there was a point where we're going, well, damn, the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks are all good. And Arizona's been adding. When are they going to get there? Maybe never. But then all of a sudden you see it turn and you're going, God, the NFC North really sucks. Nobody has a quarterback. And then you go, wait a minute, NFC North now, 4 years later, 5 years
best
later.
Best division of football.
I mean, that was outside of Aaron Rodgers, of course.
But
you're looking at the way that those divisions set up. And so I like the idea that if you finish second in a really strong division, that you could end up hosting a team that won, that was first place in a really bad division. So I just think it makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I like that. Yeah.
What about the Tush Push? How do you feel?
What about outlawing it?
Yeah.
No. I mean, stop it.
See, I want it outlawed. Because
why? And you know what's funny? It was. That was never allowed.
Yeah, because it's a huge edge.
Runner. I know.
To be able to push a runner in the back and push, like, if you look at why it works so well with Philadelphia, and especially when they added
that offensive line.
Saquon Barkley. You have one of the biggest offensive lines.
Huge.
Jason Kelce was the best at getting it started and pushing forward. Mm-hmm. Then you have a quarterback that squats, what, 800 pounds?
600.
Yeah. So, and then you have a running back that squats 800 right after. And he's the one pushing him in from behind. And it's like, I don't know how four guys on the front and guys behind them are supposed to stop it without, like the guy Luvu for the Washington. He's the guy that jumped over the line 17 times in a row down at the goal line trying to tackle the quarterback. And I think that, you know, and seeing that, you talk about the players on the defensive side saying somebody's going to get hurt at the bottom of this pile. It's like you're talking about chop blocking, cut blocking, the different things that could go on in that period of time. We all know weird things happen at the bottom of the pile, too. What's going, who's reaching, who's grabbing, who's pulling. But, like, if the players are complaining about it on the defensive side that it's not safe, then I think it is something you should look at. Like, nobody's saying you can't quarterback sneak. They We're just saying the running back can't push you.
Why is it they're the only team that does it flawlessly? Because other teams try it, and it works sometimes. Not like them. That's automatic.
I think it's worked quite a bit for the Ravens using Mark Andrews.
I'm saying for some teams. Yeah. There's other teams that do it. But the Ravens are if there was another team that was going to make sense that could do it, it'd be the Ravens. Mm-hmm. You've got Derrick Henry. You've got a big offensive line, other than your center. I mean, so it's like, you know, and they're well coached. I mean, they get it.
It's weird.
You take your quarterback out, and you have a tight end doing it.
Is it an exciting play to you?
Exciting? No.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, I think it's just a necessary, you know.
Well, you get what I'm saying. So, again, the NFL wanting to get rid of it, or at least people that wanted to get taken out and not be able to use it. It's not that you can't quarterback sneak. You just can't have somebody push someone in the back and drive them in, i.e. this was illegal. Remember when Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart did it against Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, it was illegal then, and everybody was talking about it. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do it, but nobody threw a flag, and they won the game. Now, with this, the reason I'm asking is it an exciting play? Because this happens on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. Fourth down should be exciting plays if you're going for it.
Yeah.
But is it, I mean, with the Eagles, you always feel like they're going to get it. We've seen them do it on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 if they don't get it. It's like, hey, we hit this thing at about 85% of the time. If you stop us on the first one, I'm pretty sure you're not stopping us on the second one.
It kind of sucks because it's, if you add up the fact, do the little math here, like you have the one team that does the tush push or whatever you want to call it, successfully all the time is also a team that won the Super Bowl, pretty big margin. It's like, mm-hmm. because they can do this, because you can't stop a drive with that team.
Yeah.
So that does become a problem.
Well, it becomes a huge advantage to do it, because now you're telling yourself, we need 3 downs to get whatever. Like, mm-hmm. we can use all 3 of our downs to get close. We don't have to get 10 anymore. We can get down, we can get 8. And feel comfortable about going for it on 4th down.
But more than that, we have 4 downs to get 10 yards.
Well, that's the other, and that's kind of what I'm saying.
We don't have to bump. We have 4 downs to do this.
You just have to get close to that line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And they're going to go for it, and they're more than likely going to get it. Look, the quarterback sneak thing is fine. If you don't want somebody pushing someone in the back, if you're worried about guys getting hurt at the bottom of the pile, I mean, that's part of this. What about the guys playing in the Olympics? Do you care about that at all, Ed?
Not really.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, if you guys want to go play. The first time somebody gets hurt, you're going to hate that your player went to the Olympics to play. All right, we've got shovels coming up next. We've got Orioles Brewers we're going to get to, so we'll take some more phone calls on that. Ed, who's getting your shovel?
Oh, man, I am going to have to give it to one of my favorites, the bicyclists. Mm. I had quite the experience this morning, and I can't for the life of me understand how, I don't know. Yes.
So I want to ask you something about coming out. Like, when you leave my development and you go out and you get on that, you're going to make the left or right. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you're going to, if you leave at a certain time, you'll make the left and get on 97.
Yeah.
I'll explain what I'm saying to you, because there's something right there with the bicyclist drives me insane.
Well, this was this morning coming in. I'm like, guys, this is just, well, it's not good.
We'll get to that in your shovels. 410-583-1057 right here on the
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota, with exclusive benefits including 4 years of free service maintenance or 50,000 miles. Jerry's Toyota, just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road, and online at jerrystoyota.com. Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
All right, time for shovels. 410-583-1057. Ed, tell us about those cyclists.
I'm going to give it to either the cyclists or the county. There you go. I'll tell you why. We've all talked about this for years here, about the guys who look like serious cyclists. At least they have the gear. Like, they all look like they're in the Tour de France. Tight pants and the helmets, the good calves, and all that stuff.
Nice.
But I mean, this morning I'm coming up north on Falls Road, and there's 4 guys And invisible. I give them credit. They should be wearing reflective gear, though. Those little taillights are not enough, in my opinion. But that's another story. When I was a motorcyclist, I always had stuff that when the headlights hit it, you light up like, you know, a bulb. Makes a big difference. Anyway, and they're all four in formation in a traffic lane. No car can pass. And you know how Falls Road is. It's hilly and it's windy, so you can't see. And it's also, oh, by the way, 5 o'clock in the morning, so it's not light yet. So you can't see what's ahead of you, really. And there's two cars ahead of me. And like, and I don't want to criticize them because I'll give them credit for being out at 5 a.m. exercising, doing their thing. Man. But I did notice that when the county repaved the road, they did put like markings down for bike lanes. It's about as wide as a sheet of paper. So, I mean, yeah, a bicycle tire will fit in this, but not a bicycle with a man on it. It's like, so what are we doing here? You're putting everyone in danger because when you do this, it throws you the head-on traffic right here. And we know this. We've been talking about it for years. There's got to be another solution. You can't keep doing this because somebody is going to go head-on on that road if they haven't already. And we just haven't heard about it because it's all the time, especially now that the weather is getting nicer. It's like, man, it really chaps my ass, though. It's like every day. It just does.
I totally get it. The other, like, now, if you're riding a bike and you're in the lane on the road, you have to obey the road rules, right? Like lights and things like that. Ed, is that right? Like you can't ride through a red light?
No, you're supposed to obey the traffic rules. That's right.
I just had that happen yesterday. But it is interesting. I do want to ask you something at my house. Like when you're leaving, right? You see that they have the little crosswalk there when you're coming out of my development. And you got all those trees. Problem is you can't see what's coming to the left unless you pull out over that crosswalk. The bikers come, because they always bike around by my house. They come underneath that path and come up that hill, and then they should decide, hey, I'm just riding across no matter what.
Yeah.
And then they'll look at you like, hey, you're in the crosswalk. I can't see any cars coming, jackass. What do you want me to do? I'm never going to be able to make this turn unless you pull out and you can see what's going on. And even with that, you do that, and then the car on the right side that's making a right turn pulls out. Now they're blocking you from seeing a damn right.
Yes.
So it just, some of that stuff just bothers me. But anyway, I got two shovels here I want to give because I forgot about this. But let me start off with Steve on social media. So Steve took time out of his schedule to, I guess, create. No, he had an account on Twitter to follow me and then say, is there some reason you've said effing so much today? You have that general tendency, but today you are over the top in that regard. I'm still listening, but it's crazy. Thank you.
Is it really crazy?
Steve, that was an effing stupid tweet. Just effing stupid. Did I get you enough for that? Are you kidding me? You're saying I said effing too much and it got under your skin? Jesus. Effing. No, but my shovel's going to the NBA again. This is, I just read this to Ed. And if you haven't seen it, Shaquille O'Neal said that David Stern came up to him before the NBA draft in 1992, right ahead of the lottery, and said, where do you want to play, somewhere warm or somewhere cold? Now, could that just be a question, right? Like, hey, man, what's your preference? Where do you want to go? Normally, you'd say, where would you like to play?
Yeah.
You want to play somewhere warm, somewhere cold? Remember, he got drafted by Orlando. He did say he wanted to play somewhere warm. As I was telling Ed, if you look back at that lottery, there were two what I would deem to be cold weather cities that had an opportunity to get number one in the lottery, and that would have been Minnesota, who ended up taking Christian Laettner, and the other one would have been Denver, who, God, who did they take? Ellis? I don't remember who it was. Anyway, but those were the only two cities in the top six that could have got the number one pick, so he winds up with Orlando. And it's just horrible timing because, again, even if he was just being sincere and general, hey, where do you want to play? This comes after Shaq talks about this story right after Luka gets traded and the Mavericks with the lowest percentage chance in the history of the league. Like, it couldn't be any lower.
No.
Win the draft lottery.
It could have been innocuous, but it's just a bad time. It's like, what do you want to play? Cold or warm weather? I think that's a big thing for players. People say, oh, no, they don't. I think you absolutely care. It could be where you're going to live for the next decade. Like, it's a big deal. It doesn't matter how much money you have to travel. If you're going to have your home somewhere, like, and for me, it's not even the weather. It's the city. Like, There's cold weather cities I'd live in. I'd go back to New York City in a New York second.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to Chicago. I'd go to places like, I'm not going to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right on.
That's the difference.
Well, so in football, like, you're supposed to be happy wherever you go. Obviously, you can go to a team that has been run poorly forever and know, like, hey, this isn't where I want to be. Sometimes it's regional. But in the NBA, when they had the Vancouver Grizzlies and the Toronto Raptors, nobody wanted to go to Canada,
Canada,
including the Canadian players.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like they had such trouble getting free agents to go there. That's why you see them trade for big players or they end up drafting hot. Like, look at their team. Loaded with players that they recently drafted or guys that they traded for because they couldn't sign in the offseason. So, I mean, it's just kind of weird how that goes. And people now nowadays have an issue with guys that are like, he shouldn't get to pick where he goes. And you're right, he shouldn't get to pick, but you do have influence to say, I don't want to
be
there.
And people need to realize, they're just like us. They're just better athletes.
Yeah.
They're people. Because I know, you think they don't care about uniforms? When Earl Thomas came here, if I remember correctly, he went to Madden and put himself in a Ravens uniform to see how he'd look. I think it was him. It was one of the safeties. To see how he'd look in a Ravens uniform.
I thought he made his brother the center on the team and he was the quarterback. No?
His brother. I told you, he lived in my building. Anyway, that end, I was with Wally Williams. And he's on the phone with a friend of his. We're having a drink. We were doing the drunk shopping thing. We have lunch and drink and go shopping.
That's great.
Me and Wally. And Wally is talking his buddy into going to the Eagles. You know why? The uniform.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm telling you, I'll get Wally on the phone. He goes, that's a great uniform, bro.
Like, you're going to look good, you.
Wally played for the Saints. Maybe the best uniform in the league. It's one of them. And it's like, I think uniforms matter. They're just people.
It's so funny to me. We couldn't be any different in so many different walks of life and get along as well as we do. Ed, I want you to go through my closet and tell me if there's anything in there you would wear that you didn't buy me. Please, just the next time you're over, just look at my clothes. You're like, you have 15 hoodies. You wear three of them. Anyway.
I'm wearing a pair of Vans suede slip-ons, a traditional Vans sneaker. Jen be like, are you wearing loafers? What is that?
And I said, I'm not making fun of it. It's just something I would never buy. It looks good. I think everything looks weird on me. That being said, we're talking, I want to speak of weird. Let's talk about the Orioles. Orioles Brewers, we're going to talk about that. We'll get to your phone calls. I know Antonio's on hold, 410-583-1057 here on The Fan.
Manzo, for me personally, he's one of my favorite coaches on the staff. I know a lot of guys have his back, and same thing, it goes with everybody else on the staff. It wouldn't have mattered who they decided to put in that role. We trust them, and we think our staff is good enough to lead any team.
That's Dean Kramer talking about Tony Manziello. Kramer last night coming out in the first inning, you're feeling pretty good, right? Second inning, nope. Gave up a couple runs, kind of settled down, and Orioles come back, tie it up, but different story, same ending. As they lose, they find a way to lose. Jhenir Cano giving up the run. A lot of people asking about whether or not they should have walked William Contreras. It's the eighth inning. So I understand not wanting to put more guys on base in the chase and pitching to him. But again, like the only outcome that matters is the one that you want. So whatever he chooses, if it doesn't work out, you're going to be mad at. You know,
that's the problem.
That's the easy thing to do when you're a fan. But it's easy to be mad at this team because of all the things that have gone awry this year.
And continue to go awry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. It's like, and what really, I think it really sucks. I don't know what sucks worse, but it does kind of suck where they never seem like they have a lead. If they have a lead, they're not going to, you don't feel like they're going to hold it. And if they're behind by two runs or six runs, you're like, you have no confidence they're going to make it to come back.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And this wasn't the case last year or the year before. I'm going to the eighth, ninth inning. They could be trailing by three. And I'm like, that's not much. They can get it back.
Yeah.
And they did very often.
Well, that's what I said before about this young team 2 years ago. We always felt like they were going to come back. Like, no, these hungry young players. And I'm not saying that they're not hungry anymore or whatever, but like they just look defeated.
Mm-hmm.
There's no help on the way. You guys got to fix it yourself. You know, this there's not when I say there's no help on the way. Yes, they're going to get guys back from the injury, you know, from the IL or whatever. We don't know when Bradish exactly. We don't know even if Grayson Kittredge will be here. But what we were saying before, the whole thing that I kept saying is, can you weather the storm, tread water, get to mid-May, be in range, and start to get healthy then? No, they drown. Seven games in a row now that they've lost, and there's no light. There's no bright spot right now to focus in on. Like I said, you can talk about Jackson Holiday, but there's so many other things that have gone wrong. It's hard to be happy about him turning into the player we thought he could be.
Yeah, I mean, then there's a host of them too, though. It's that one player. There's a bunch of guys that showed so much promise, and we thought. I mean, Holiday's the one that's made the most progress, at least right now, where it looks like he absolutely belongs, and he didn't last year. But you forget, he wasn't old enough to drink last year. You forget how young he is. Mm-hmm. But there's other guys Adley goes from the best catcher in baseball to he just looks terrible now.
And it's not just offensively. You were talking about defense. Like, he's not throwing anyone out.
No. And Gunnar's coming back, but he still doesn't look like, you know, the best player in baseball, one of the best players in the American League, as people were talking about. He just doesn't look like that. And now Westberg's out, and it's just so. Kershaw looks kind of lost in the outfield sometimes. So it's just like.
Ugh, sometimes.
Yeah.
He threw the ball twice. I'm like, who are you throwing it to? Like, act like you've even been
tracking
out there.
He looks like he can't see the ball in the sun, or he's losing the ball in the air. There's things like that.
Well, if you look at his fair skin, it doesn't look like he's been out in the sun a lot.
That's true.
I know that because I have fair skin as well. Yeah, there's like a little porcelain doll out there in right field. It does. It just gets frustrating when you're seeing the same results over and over again. And, you know, you look at the guys you have out there, keep saying, I want to see the young guys play. Where's Kobe Mayo? Where's the rest of these guys? Maybe they make that decision somewhere in June. Like, hey, we're not going anywhere and we got to do something. But you also have a GM that wants to win games so it doesn't look as bad to lose his job as well, because people are calling for him to get fired. Anyway. Let's grab some phone calls. Antonio's in Rosedale. Antonio, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Taco, taco, taco.
It looks like the Orioles will be sellers at the trade deadline. Which of the players will go first? Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thanks, man. So, again, I think people are going to look at this all wrong, but I think Sagano, I think Eflin, Kittredge, you can name a bullpen piece that you can get something for if his contract's expiring and he's pitching well. But again, have to be pitching well. You could also go and probably look at some of your expiring contracts with the batters like Cedric Mullins, Ryan Mountcastle, if teams want those. It's obviously going to be dependent on how much they're hitting at that point, right? But elsewhere, I don't know what else you're going to move. I said Ryan O'Hearn because a team that's in the mix can look at his numbers and go, hey, if we got a right-hander on the mound, let's put this cat in the lineup at DH because he rakes right-handed pitching.
Absolutely.
You can say what you want about him. That guy hits right-handed pitching.
I don't know. Why would anybody say anything negative about him?
Well, it's just weird saying, hey, you can trade for Ryan O'Hearn, and people are like, well, what are we going to get for him? It doesn't matter at that point when you look at the contracts and what you have coming up. Anywhere else, I just don't know. Like, I'm not moving any of the young pieces you have unless it's in some sort of a package deal to get a pitcher that you have under control for a while. And you don't usually see those trades at the trade deadline for a team that's out of it to go acquire a starting pitcher. Usually it's the teams that are in it trying to get those guys, right? But this could be one of those years because I don't know who they have under contract next year that's going to be available to start for them. You start thinking about the rotation and look at the contracts of the guys. Charlie Morton, gone. Well, I'm just saying, it's a one-year deal. Do you want Cade Povich and Chase McDermott in your rotation? I'm not saying they're bad pitchers, but they're two young guys in there. It's not like you have a lot of vets, so they're going to have to get somebody, one or two guys in the offseason, maybe even more than that, if they expect. And again, this is a GM under fire, as I'm using air quotes. So
I don't know what the answer is because, you know, first of all, starting pitching, high-quality starting pitching, it's hard to find. It's really hard to find. It's extremely expensive.
Most people don't want to move it unless they're getting something great.
Right. And if you're a contending team, you're not going to lose a premier pitcher. So I don't know what the answer. I mean, you need a team. You need the Colorado Rockies to have Skeens. Or the Pirates. I mean, they have Skeens, and they're terrible.
Here's what I'll do. I'll look at some of the starting pitchers that are becoming free agents next year or eligible to become free agents, and we'll get into that in the next segment. We'll take your phone calls. Rashawn, wait patiently. On hold, we'll get to him. Are you worried? Rebuild? I don't know if you can call it a rebuild. Would you call it more of a retooling? We get into it next here on The Fan.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show, talking some O's. We were talking about this team. Do they need another rebuild? Which, for me, the answer is no. I mean, that's just silly. You got so many young guys under contract for a while. You've got young guys on the way to come to this team. What you need to do is filter in some good vets to go along with those younger guys and then compete. It's that simple. Like, maybe it's a new manager. Maybe it's somebody coming in with a brand new look on how they should do things. But, you know, when you're talking about it, I think they're going to get another analytical manager because that's what this team is.
We're going to have to because the team is structured that way.
Yeah.
With a big an analytical department.
Well, and I want to hear what the fans think about it. 410-583-1057. Would you call it a retool or rebuild? Speaking of tools. No, I'm kidding. Rashawn's in Baltimore. Hey, did you hear Ed call your Cowboys fraudulent earlier today?
No, I didn't hear that, man. Yeah. Why would he say such a thing?
Why? I don't know. I have no idea.
A history?
Okay, we're gonna talk about this, Ed. You know, and by the way, I'm not going to make it to your event tomorrow, Ed.
I know.
But I'm sending a couple friends in my place, though, to come through. So,
right. You
know. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean? You know?
And for people out there listening, it's Thursday, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's Thursday.
Okay, I got my day. Oh, yeah, I got my day.
Why don't want people come tomorrow night now? Because they think it's tomorrow.
Rashawn's busy that night, too.
I believe it. Yeah. But anyway, man, onto these sorry-ass O's, right? Yeah. You know, so first of all, when the season started, what? First opening day was March
27th? 29th or something?
Yeah. It was at the end of March.
29th, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even May 29th yet. We're not even 2 months into the season, and the season is a wrap already.
Yeah.
You know, at least with the old, remember these is the fade off, at least after the All-Star break, you know, at least give us something to talk to.
The only difference with the old O's and this O's is that you have expectations now. You didn't care back then because, well, I'm going to say you didn't care, but like the ultimate thing was in a rebuild, you're not trying to win games because you want better draft picks. You want these young players to play and cut their teeth. And with that usually comes losing when you look at it and you get higher picks and that helps with the whole farm system.
Yeah, at this point, man, I'm just like, man, bring on the Ravens in the preseason and us seeing Cooper Rush shred these opposing defenses, man. You know, so I'm more looking forward to that now, you know. So.
All right, man.
Hello?
Well, yeah, we're
here.
Hello.
Hello.
You thought we hung up on you? Man, I'm running the phones. You didn't get hung up on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot Rob ain't there today. Yeah, good. Oh, man.
All right, I hung up on. Anyway, so he's gonna text me. Anyway, but do you think there needs to be another rebuild? Nobody wants to go back through that this quick. We were talking about what a success the rebuild's been. They came out of it early. For the fans that hate Elias, yeah, the offseason was not. I mean, it wasn't good. It wasn't what you wanted. I mean, I understand that. Again, I'll go back to this and speak it ad nauseum. I understand saying, hey, I'm not going to pay for this pitcher. I'm not going to pay for that pitcher. I've already stated, like, when you look at Corbin Burns and Max Fried, there's going to be trouble at the end of their contracts. There's going to be some dead money at the end any way you slice it. But the thing I would also say, Ed, is that the going rate now? Are you going to have to do that for everybody? So as I looked it up, let me just run through some of these names at starting pitcher that could become available, and I'll just go through the good guys. Dylan Cease, Zach Gallen, Framber Valdez. Chris Sale has a club option, which means he ain't going anywhere. Seth Lugo has a player option. It's a possibility, especially if he pitches well the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael King, mutual option. Jack Flaherty has an opt-out. And then you get to the Verlanders, Jordan Montgomery, Shane Bieber. When's the last time that guy pitched?
I mean,
Shota Imanaga has a club option, player option. Scherzer, Kershaw, Brandon Woodruff. No. Zach Eflin. Again, does he want to go to Florida? Cody Senga, he has an opt-out. Ranger Suarez, can he catch fire again? I mean, he's been pitching well for Philly the past couple years, but is that who he is? Chris Bassett, Nestor Cortez, Merrill Kelly, Frankie Montas, who's hurt, Dustin May, Tyler Molly, Freddie Peralta. These are guys, like, there's some good names in there. Are they going to make a run at one or two of them in the offseason? Is there a trade that's looming that we're not thinking of? People have talked about Sandy Alcantara down in Miami and whether or not that's a guy you want to kick the tires on them selling low, maybe. Maybe they don't want to sell low. Maybe they're waiting for him to turn the corner and saying, what's the point of selling low if we're not a good team? Let's just see if he figures it out and then sell high. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
one of the things you said that caught my ear, too. It's like, it's not just this, what you're talking about with the contracts and things like that. When you mentioned, like, Eflin, does he want to go back to Tampa? The problem is going to be, why would you stay here now? Where if you know Tampa's his hometown, why would you stay here when it looks like you're not contending anymore? So this, you know, that used to be an attraction where you go to a team that you may win a World Series, you go to a World Series. Now that's certainly not the case. So why would you stay here if you have a chance to play for the? If you go back to play for the Rays?
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do.
At this point of his career, is it more about his family and doing that? Like, if you go back to the Rays, I'm assuming he's going to ask for a no-trade clause in there because you want to go back to Florida. Do you want to go play for Miami? I mean, those you look at the teams in Florida, that's your options. I don't know ultimately how important that is to him, but that's the rumor that's been out there. That's what he wants to do. But if you're really going to move pieces that have value to other teams, these are the ones, you know? So, I don't know what you do in the offseason next year. All right, coming up, hour number three, we get into a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk to Ken McCusick. We'll get into, you know, the Ravens and, you know, how the team's looking after the draft, some of the things that have gone on. Lots to talk about there, and with the Derrick Henry signing as well. World of Stupid's coming up next hour. Daily Line's going to be at 8:45, so stay tuned for that. And, again, Ken McCusick's going to join us, so we'll get to Film Study Baltimore, kind of talk about all things Ravens right here on The Fan.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.